Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our sermon series in the book of James. Today we read in chapter 3, verses 13 to 18 as follows. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above or from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. This is God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, dearly loved by God. Christianity is not theoretical. We are not to sit around during the week and try to come up with all kinds of hypothetical and imagined ways that we can go about our daily lives as children of God born by the word of truth. Christianity is practical. That word means something that you can put into practice. The practicum, the practice of Christianity, is daily following the moral wisdom God has given, and that rests solely on God's word. In our next section of James' letter, we read that the apostle writes words about how to tell the difference between that genuine wisdom that rests solely on God's word and that pseudo-wisdom that tries to pass itself off as the genuine article. There is a stark and bold contrast that makes it clear the difference between the two. So this morning, let's take a look at that, at the stark contrast between heavenly and earthly wisdom. We see, first of all, that earthly wisdom produces selfish living, and secondly, that God's wisdom produces living for others. In ancient Greece, among the great Greek thinkers, wisdom was theoretical. It was hypothetical and imagined. Classical wisdom was abstract and conceptual. It made for some very good discussions. It made for some great thinking, but it was pretty useless in dealing with the dishonest vendor in the marketplace who was trying to cheat you. Made it pretty difficult to deal with that irritating neighbor living next door who was a constant source of trouble and trial in your life. And the other thing about that earthly, worldly, classical wisdom is that it left itself open to pretty much your own definition of morality. Left itself wide open to all different kinds of interpretations and understandings of what genuine wisdom really is. The Apostle James, in writing to these Christians, describes that kind of wisdom as earthly, as worldly, as unspiritual, and demonic. It is worldly because it is based on man's ideas rather than God's word. It is unspiritual because it has really nothing to do with the true God or the revelation of himself. Really, the word unspiritual has the idea of natural. It's wisdom that comes naturally. For example, when people have sexual relations without being married, they are doing what comes natural to them, just like animals. They're acting naturally, just like animals act. It's what comes natural to them. That's what James is talking about when he talks about earthly wisdom as being unspiritual. And such natural immorality of earthly wisdom is a sin. And it's a sin because it's demonic. It has its source. It has its context and its content only from Satan. Essentially, then, we might say that worldly or earthly wisdom is selfishness. Selfishness kills unborn babies. Selfishness destroys marriages. Selfishness robs from people what they possess, even their good names, their good reputations. Selfishness harbors bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts. Where does all this worldly wisdom's lore that we sang about in our sermon hymn today lead? James tells us, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Earthly wisdom leads to anarchy. It leads to chaos. It leads to false beliefs, and as Luther says, to other great shame and vices that try to come and to destroy our faith in Christ. They stand completely the opposite of God's morality in the Ten Commandments. Earthly wisdom stands completely opposite to the way that you and I want to live our lives in daily repentance and faith as his children to the glory of our Father in heaven. James says, if you got that kind of wisdom, and we all have it in our sinful nature, don't boast about it. And don't deny it, because it's there, and it's something to be ashamed of. Do not deny the truth of God's word by following Satan's lies that worldly wisdom's the way to go in life. You know, we might think that we're really being wise when we link our arms and join our hearts with the earthly and worldly wisdom of unbelievers around us. But in fact, that's not wise. That's not the way to go. And it's not going to lead to joy and to peace and to godliness. It's going to lead to chaos. I told the catechism kids this morning, you know, life doesn't just happen to us. It's very often what we bring on ourselves. And if we follow earthly and worldly wisdom, it brings chaos, and it brings enmity, and it brings hurt and pain and division and harm to us and to our neighbors. Perhaps, and it might even lead, finally, to total rejection of God and of God's word and his way of doing things. In stark, bold contrast to that earthly and worldly wisdom is the wisdom that comes from heaven. We know it as the wisdom of God. We pray for the wisdom that comes from above. That's God's wisdom. That's true and genuine wisdom. When I was writing out my sermon on the computer, I noticed that every time I wrote, I almost said typed, whenever I wrote out the word worldly, I left out the first L. I had to always go back and change it from worldly to worldly. But then in my self-justification, it occurred to me I actually had it right. Because God's wisdom is worldly wisdom because it is revealed in His Word. It comes from His Word. It builds on His Word. It is His Word. And that wisdom, that heavenly wisdom, that wisdom, God's wisdom, that produces the antithesis of selfish living. That produces living for others. God's wisdom produces living for others because God's wisdom is that Christ lived for others. The Apostle Paul wrote in his first chapter of 1 Corinthians that Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. There is no more selfless act that has ever taken place in the universe than God the Father offering up His own Son to come into the flesh and to suffer and die and be rejected on the cross to pay for our sins. There's no greater selfless act than Jesus Christ coming into the world and doing those things and offering Himself up for others. He is that wisdom of God that saved us who cannot save ourselves. He is that wisdom of God that's not theoretical. It's not hypothetical. It's not imaginary. The forgiveness of my sins is not imaginary. My eternal redemption and salvation in Christ is not theoretical. It's practical. Because it's what destroys the selfishness in my life. It's what cools my lust for sin. It's what guides me each and every day in a godly and pure morality. Because it is the wisdom of heaven. It is the wisdom from above. It is the wisdom of God. That wisdom lifts me up above the natural world and places me into the kingdom of grace, into the kingdom of glory, and the kingdom of power. It lifts me up in that wisdom of God and motivates me and compels me to live in that wisdom here on earth. Such is the wisdom that comes down from heaven. This wisdom, it's pure and it's unadulterated. It is of the highest moral quality and godly integrity. This wisdom follows peace, it lives in peace, and it produces peace. It is wisdom that fears the Lord. It keeps me honoring God's representatives over me. It keeps me taking care of my body and taking care of my neighbor's body. It's what enables me to honor my marriage and to live in that marriage as God wants me to. It protects my and my neighbor's property. That wisdom from above protects my good name, my good reputation, and it protects the reputation of my neighbor. It enables me in every circumstance to be content, to be satisfied, and to not fall into the trap of the love of money, which is the root of all kinds of evil. All of this worldly wisdom that we put into practice in our sanctification flows from righteousness. A better rendering of verse 18 is this: the fruit that comes from righteousness sows in peace, to doing peace. So those fruits that come from righteousness is that moral wisdom that we put into practice in life. Those who belong to Christ are connected to Christ. Like we sang in our sermon hymn, He is the vine, we are the branches. And from Him, we are able to bear abundant and good fruit. And the result of that fruit, of our peace in Christ, as we live in the peace of His righteousness, is that it brings peace, it creates peace with others. I mean, think what happens in our congregation. Think what happens in our homes, or at work, or in school, wherever it might be. When we use our strengths and recognize even our weaknesses as God has made us and as God guides us with His Word, think of what happens when we use those things for the good of our neighbor. Does it create chaos? Does it create enmity and disharmony? No, it creates peace. It creates harmony and unity and solidarity. God has given us those blessings, as we heard in our gospel, not to see who's first, but to really be first by serving all others first. Last week, we read James' words that he had written, I will show you my faith by my deeds. There is a stark and bold contrast between the deeds that come from earthly, worldly wisdom and the deeds that come from the wisdom that is heavenly, that is God's wisdom, that is wisdom from above. That wisdom is not natural. It's not unspiritual. It's not demonic. It's pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. So, this morning, I'll ask us, as God's children, and apply it to us, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Then we will be at peace, we will sow in peace, and we will accomplish peace. Amen.